It's my privilege to bring the Word of God. We have heard so much, and I hope we're not going to, like, get too fat here, but that we can also, like, everything that we hear and have heard so far, that we can actually put it into practice. And the verse that I have chosen for today is Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. And I will not make too much more reference to this passage, because Reiner will preach on August 16th on this passage. But church, I want to let you know that this morning I have some good news and some bad news for us. And when it comes to sharing the faith of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus, with people, a lot of times we just come there and we say we got good news. Well, why is it good news? Well, we need to go into the Word of God and ask, what does Jesus save us from? And so I have a few passages that I want to share with you briefly, not going into details, but what does Jesus save us from? Okay, so pay attention. First of all, Jesus saves us from guilt. We're all guilty, to righteousness. Every person has sinned against God. God is a just and holy God, and God punishes sin because he is a righteous and just God. Romans 3:19 says, obviously, the law applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. We all have sinned, the Bible talks about, and we fall short of the glory of God. We fall short of the standard of God. And so the bad news is that true and perfect righteousness is not possible for men to attain on his own. The standard is simply too high. The good news is that true righteousness is possible for mankind, but only through the cleansing of sin by Christ, by Jesus Christ, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. God is a righteous judge, and he so needs to punish us. And so what he does, he puts my guilt, he puts it on Jesus, and he declares me righteousness. As he looks at me through the eyes of Jesus, I've been declared righteous, and there is no longer no condemnation against those who are in Jesus Christ. The second one is that Jesus saves us from the wrath of God, something we don't talk about too often. From the wrath of God to the love of God. Romans 5:9 says, since you have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? We used to live in God's anger. God expects us to obey him, and we fall short to do that. God's standard is perfect obedience every moment of every day. But through Jesus Christ, Romans 5:9 takes us directly to Romans 8:39, where we read that nothing, absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Number three, Jesus saves us from alienation into fellowship. Romans 5:10 says, for if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Jesus died a substitutionary death. Jesus took my place. He took your place on the cross. Through faith and repentance, you go from being God's enemy to being God's child. And we read that in John 1:12. It says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right, the privilege, I want to say, to become children of the Most High God. We are his children. Then Jesus saves us from slavery to sin to freedom. But thanks be to God, we read in Romans 6:17, but thanks be to God that you were once slaves to sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you are committed. We often think that we are free people. We live in a free country. People say, I am free. I can do whatever I want. The Bible says that we are slaves to sin. Jesus saves us from being slaves to sin and being able to live like he has made us to live. And Galatians 5:13 says, "For you have been called to freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use this freedom to satisfy the things of the sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." And the next point, Jesus saves us, from eternal death to eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die." Do you believe that? Jesus says to Martha in John 11:26. Christians die physically, but they do not die spiritually. And with this knowledge, we can totally overcome even the fear of death. Death is simply a passing from this life into the next for the life of a believer. And then also something really, really powerful as I searched into this is that Jesus gives us hope. How many people, like in this world, if we don't have Jesus, we run around, we're hopeless. Where are we going to go with everything that is happening in this world? And yet we come to Jesus. Jesus gives us this hope. "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." And then the last one is that Jesus also saves us from living a life, a meaningless life without purpose, to a life with purpose, with purpose. And this purpose is to bring other people into a relationship with Jesus, right? To reconcile people with God. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves." And for the mission that Jesus has left us, in Acts 1:9 we read, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Abbotsford and to the ends of the earth." And in our struggles and our fight here on earth with evil, 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 says, "The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Jesus Christ." I hope that these few things that I have mentioned that Jesus saves us from to where we are now in Jesus Christ will just awaken in all of us, followers of Jesus Christ, and you just like, wow, this is what Jesus is doing and has done for us and will continue to do with us, and just to worship him and to continue to dedicate our lives fully to him and the mission that he has given to us. And if you have never given your life to Jesus, you know now what he saves you from. And I want to tell you, you know what? The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Stop being a rebel without a cause. Come to Jesus. Recognize that you're a sinner. Recognize that you need saving. And you know what? Like the prodigal son came back, and the Father is ready to receive you, ready to forgive your sins and to give you his love, his forgiveness, his grace, and purpose for our life. Let me pray with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for all that Jesus has done in the past, and everything that Jesus is doing right now and also will do in the future. And thank you that we can celebrate this marvelous gift of salvation, God. And I want to pray for those you're speaking to right now, God, that are far away from you, that are doubting, maybe that are struggling. I pray in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit will open up their eyes, their ears, that they will understand what we have read here, your word, God, it will become alive in them, God, and they will be born into new life. There will be a new creation in Jesus Christ, Father God, for your glory and your honor. I pray these things. Amen and amen.